The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 25. of the Great British Chiefs Show, your boys from the kingdom, representing the kingdom. Myself, Brad Simcox, aka the Brit Chief, and our headlines editor, Tom Childs. This week, Tom and I will be giving our thoughts and takeaways from the Chiefs' visit to Washington. We'll also be looking at this week's Arrowhead Pride power rankings before looking ahead to our preview of the Chiefs' Week 7 matchup against the Tennessee Titans. But first,
your flag football national champions of 2021, Leighton Buzzard Steve.
Congratulations, Tom Childs and Leighton Buzzard Steam, for winning the was it the Outlaw 2021 National Championship in flag football?
It was.
Is that what it was?
What was that voice? Was that an attempt at that generic sounding NFL announcer voice that seems to be at every single stadium?
Yes. Was it good, or did it just sound a bit robotic?
So bad. Like. You would have been better off finding one of those guys, because it is multiple guys. It's not just the same guy, Brad.
I'm convinced it's just one guy.
You're better off finding one of those guys and getting him to re-record that for you. But yes, I am a national champion.
Like national champion.
National champion. Yeah, on Saturday, we had our finals day. It's only flag football. I'm far too old now and my body's taken too much of a beating to carry on playing kitted football. So in the last couple of years, I've moved to the flag version. And this last weekend, we had our finals day. We won our quarterfinal, won our semifinal, and then we won our final. And yeah, I'm a natty champ. What can I say?
Natty champ. Yeah. I bet you didn't even think you were going to actually win the whole thing, did you?
Oh, no, I was supremely confident that we were going to win it. Like, I was very, very confident all week that we were going to win, because I think we're very good. If I'm being honest, like,
are you saying you've got championship swagger? Is that
what
it is?
Basically, yeah. No, the mojo we were talking about last week. Yeah, my team's had it all season. We just had one bad day that affected our seedings. That's all it was. And then so we went in as the fourth seed, and I knew that straight away that we weren't the fourth best team in it. I knew we were the best, and all we had to do was deliver on the day, and that's exactly what we've done.
Surely hasn't gone to your head, has it? Jeez. So what did you win? What did you get? Come on, tell us, what did you get?
I got a medal. We got a plaque. Wow. We got a plaque. Wow. We got free license from our missus to go out on Saturday night and celebrate as hard as we like. That's worth it enough,
isn't it, for that?
Exactly. Yeah. So no, it was a fun time. Like, a lot of hard work, should we say, in the last couple of years. You know, I've got to do this speech. A lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of time. I want to thank my people. it was worth it.
Can I just ask as well, does the practice squad get a medal?
What are you saying is because you come to one of our practices like 2 months ago.
Yes.
You know what? We have spares. Why not? I'm not being funny. If you only have to look at some of the people that got rings from the Chiefs and think, well, if they got a ring, then surely we can give Brad one.
He turned up for one session, caught a few balls, and that was it.
exactly that.
I was there if you need me, mate. I was there if you need me.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Straight into it this week. We're going to be talking about, obviously, the week six matchup against the Washington football team, which let's start off from the beginning, because a lot of Chiefs Kingdom were watching this game. And I from the all the responses I saw on social media, we were all fearing the worst of this team. The offense had turned over the ball, I think, was it 3 times this week?
Mm-hmm.
Which it's phenomenal when you think, like, the week before it was like 4 turnovers. I think a couple of weeks before that was another 4 turnovers. This week it's 3 turnovers.
Yep.
I think everybody was just really kind of, well, really concerned what was going on with this team. And it almost looked like we were watching a team that wasn't the Chiefs. It was almost like looking at the imposters.
Yeah, like up until like the third turnover, I'm sure we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
The rest of the team looked pretty good. The defense looked good.
Yeah.
The offense looked good. There was just 2 major mishaps, one from Tyreek Hill and then one from Mecole Hardman, which made it look a lot worse than it actually was. Because like the first couple of drives, the Chiefs were dealing. Pat Mahomes was dealing. The throw to Mecole Hardman down the sideline, the throw to Jody Fortson, the catch from Jody Fortson down the sideline. Now, Mahomes was playing really quite well in that first half. And then obviously he got unlucky with the Tyreek Hill, yet again failing to catch a ball that hits him in both hands and tipping it to a defender. And then you've got Mecole Hardman, who's on the outside running down the sideline, and he just coughs up the ball from nowhere. So overall, I thought the Chiefs played quite well in the first half. I thought they played quite well all game. There was just like 2 or 3, maybe 4 plays in which they were dreadful. But luckily against the Washington football team, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I think you just compounded it a lot more that the fact that, the turnovers were an issue. And again, we saw, like you said, that you mentioned that Tyreek Hill kind of spill, let's say, that hit him in square in the hands and it flicked out again, didn't it? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is, how he's trying to catch it, but it never seems to get batted down,
maybe he needs to steal Turk Wharton's gloves, and maybe that's what he should be going with, catching advice from Turk Wharton. But no, overall, obviously the turnovers are something to be worried about. But I think in the week before against the Bills, yes, they had the turnovers, but I don't think they played very well at the same time.
No.
I don't think they looked like scoring against the Bills, where against Washington, they looked very good up until the turnovers. And I think that's how it was all game. And it's only once they managed to finally get rid of the turnovers that they reaped the rewards of their good play. But yes, it is an issue. They do need to knock it on the head. And hopefully we will look at halftime of this Washington game as the moment that the Chiefs turn their season around. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But yeah, I think we should get on to the big turnover, and that was the Mahomes trying to make things happen turnover, which was just like the craziest play.
Yeah, it was. I mean, for decisions made by Patrick Mahomes, this is the worst decision, and I think the worst interception I think any of us have ever seen him make. I don't know whether he was trying to throw the ball out or whether he was trying to squeeze it to someone or make something happen, but he should have just taken the sack, and he will definitely want that one back as well, won't he?
Yeah, but he's never been a guy to eat sacks. He doesn't try. He's just not one of those guys. He doesn't want to eat a sack. He's like similar to like Big Ben. Big Ben's for years never wanted to eat sacks. He just always wanted to find a way to get out of it and make something happen. And I don't want Mahomes to lose that out of his game because it's the out of structure stuff which makes Mahomes so special. Yes, he can run a conventional offense, but the difference between Patrick Mahomes and every other quarterback is for when things go wrong, he manages to turn massive negatives into huge positives. So if you're going to say to him, you need to start eating sacks and not getting away from pass rushers, then maybe we'll lose a bit of Mahomes. Yeah, you could probably argue with this one particular play because he had already fumbled the snap. Maybe that he probably should have learned from previous games, and maybe he should have just ducked on the floor and just said, right, yeah, go on, defender, just tap me on the back and I'll take this one.
Did you see Andy Reid on the sidelines?
No, I didn't. I was too busy with my head in my head in my hands at that point. I didn't see any reaction.
Well, Andy Reid was exactly the same. Basically, when the ball went up in the air, his head just went. He like covered his head with his with the play sheet. It was like, oh man, this is like, honestly, it was like his worst nightmare, just kind of right in front of him. And Eric Bieniemy as well, he was kicking off big time on the sideline. I love watching the sidelines when something like that happens. You know, you get some good reactions. And
yeah, do you especially think the team's at that point, did you think the team was broken?
I did.
Yeah,
I really did, and I think a lot of people felt it as well. I mean, at halftime, I remember sitting there thinking, and I just need to get out the room or something and do something else just to forget about that first half with the turnovers. Mm. Because, and it's funny because my wife, she never normally asks about the NFL or the Chiefs or anything like that. She thinks I'm crazy when I talk about the Chiefs and stuff. But she was asking, she's, are you all right? I said, no, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm really concerned.
I'm really concerned.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And I thought, right, I'm just going to make myself a cup of tea. And I'm just going to come back upstairs, forget about that first half. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did for the second half, I think.
I love the fact that you likened what you done to exactly what the Chiefs
it
done.
It was exactly the same, mate. So
you actually went downstairs, made yourself a cuppa, and as you're pouring it out, you're like, right, come on, Brad, we can do this. Let's forget about that first half. Enough is enough. And I love the fact that I could just, you just seeing you sit there, psych yourself up. Like, enough with the turnovers, Brad. Put less milk in that tea. Come on. One more sugar. You can do it. Like, let's go.
Mate, I was coming back into the room. I was smacking my shoulder pads. I was banging the helmet I had on from my signed helmet that I've got in the case. I was proper hyped up for the second half. And I think that cup of tea really changed everything.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a presser now. I'm in a pressing conference.
So, Brad Simcox, what was the turning point of the Chiefs season? I made myself a really good cup of tea at halftime of the Washington game.
You know what? It was a good cup of tea as well. I really enjoyed it. It was really nice. But, talking about that second half, it was like flicking a switch, wasn't it? It was like, sure. It was seeing the Chiefs that we all know and love suddenly destroying a team, and everything was right in the world again.
Yeah, I rewatched the game yesterday and I got the first half and I thought, okay, the first half wasn't as bad as I remembered. They played quite well, just the turnovers. They held what Washington to 13 points in their first half, I think it was, which 13 points for a half, based on what we've seen so far this season, is pretty good for the Chiefs. Average 26, still less than what we've seen in previous games. So I was kind of happy with the defensive output anyway. But as soon as you start watching the second half, the first thing I noticed on the defensive side of the ball was just one Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu flying, and I mean flying to the line of scrimmage. I don't know what adjustments they made at halftime, but whatever they did defensively, it involved Tyrann Mathieu and one Thornhill just flat out attacking. And I think it's something to do with the emergence of Rashad Fenton and the Jarius Sneed as really, really reliable corners. The fact that Steve Spagnuolo probably felt like that he could just unleash this tandem of safeties, which we know on their day are as good as any pair in the NFL. And that was the effect it had on Washington. Like, Washington couldn't get anything going offensively in the second half. And I think that starts with the play of Tyrann Mathieu and one Thornhill.
Yeah. It's strange to think that we never had Thornhill for the last few games.
No. Well, very
even
limited.
Though it was, yeah, or very limited. Yeah. And it almost felt like Chiefs Kingdom, it was almost like an outcry that we needed Thornhill back in the team. Or at least getting more snaps.
He played every snap this week.
Yeah. And it showed. I mean, there was a lot more understanding from the defense. Mm-hmm. They all knew their assignments. I know Sorensen played less snaps, but even he was playing more of a linebacker role, wasn't he, at some point, which it seemed to work better. It seemed to work better to his strengths as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can say that the whole defense looked better. They looked quicker.
It did.
They looked more athletic. They got some pass rush. They got turnovers. They had two turnovers in this game, which is like, we hadn't seen a turnover in four weeks since our last defensive turnover? Was it Tyrann Mathieu's interceptions against the Ravens was the last turnover? Yeah. That seems like a lifetime ago. So the second half defensive performance was something that I feel like we can potentially forecast in the future. We obviously have to be a bit cautious because it is Washington, it is Tyler Henneke. But to post a shutout in the second half is really, really good. But on the other side, someone massively found their mojo again.
Yeah.
One particular player just thought, balls to this. I am the best player in the NFL, and I am going to show everyone that I am the best in the NFL. That performance by Patrick Mahomes in the second half was ridiculous.
Yeah.
There was so many highlight plays in it.
Yeah.
You had the little shovel to Travis Kelce.
Oh, that was sweet, wasn't it?
You had the nice ball to DeMarcus Robinson. I can't remember if it was first half or second half, but why is no one talking about the jump pass to Tyreek Hill?
Because we've seen it before, mate. That's right.
why is no one talking about that? That's not popping up anywhere. That play was ridiculous. And then, of course, then we've got the play that didn't count, which is arguably the greatest play of Patrick Mahomes' young career. But unfortunately, it's not going to count. That how he hits Tyreek Hill in stride, thrown across the body, over the linebacker that tries cutting the route as well. It's just outrageous. It looks good in the first TV view, but now I've seen that view from the stands from the corner, and I've seen the all 22. It is by far and away one of the greatest throws ever made.
Tyreek Hill isn't even in shot when Patrick Mahomes releases the ball. And yeah, like you said, it was literally in stride. It was almost similar to the one against the Ravens.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember that one? Yeah, it was a similar type of player, wasn't it?
It is better.
But this one seemed better, but sadly it won't count.
No.
I feel robbed. We're robbed of Mahomes' magic.
We are. We do need an archive of Mahomes' plays that don't count or won't count.
There must be loads now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Must be loads.
His incompletion and plays bought back highlight reel will be better than 99.9% quarterback's highlight reel of plays that count.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Without a doubt. Actually, I just remembered something we didn't mention there. Townsend's muffed punt.
Oh.
Did you see that? Mate, I could kick that further. Did he go 15 yards or something?
18-yard punt it was. 18-yard punt. Like, it's not even worth it, is it?
Nah.
18 yards. Like, come on.
Not even worth it.
Come on, Tommy. Like, we saw it in the Super Bowl. Like, the one in the Super Bowl was really bad, and that was at a really bad time for the Chiefs. They needed to switch field positions in the Super Bowl, and Tommy Townsend failed. And then on Sunday, it was another one, first half, going poorly. Chiefs have to punt after like a give up play on 3rd and 20, and then they punt, and then what is it, 18-yard punt, doesn't even get that back down to the first down marker. It's just awful. They would have been better off just throwing a Hail Mary as opposed to that, like, come on, it's
just throw it.
But yeah, I think it was a symbol, shall we say, of how sloppy the Chiefs have been of late. For all of their good play, they have been sloppy, but thankfully in the second half they went from being really sloppy to squeaky clean.
Yeah. Do you think that the fact that the second half performance, do you not feel as though Mahomes was actually leaving the pocket a lot quicker? You know, getting out there and making sure that it was like the old Patrick Mahomes. It's strange saying that, old Patrick Mahomes, but seeing him just loose more than anything, instead of being like, you know, hemmed in into that pocket all the time. Do you think that was one of his things where he just thought, do you know what? I'm not even going to trust the guys in front of me. I'm just going to go and do my own thing and be Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I think he wanted to play his brand of football, and the Washington made it kind of easy because they started sending blitzes. The week before, the Buffalo Bills didn't blitz at all, not once.
Yeah.
Where second half, Washington were blitzing. They were sending five guys, not every down, but every now and then. And sending five guys to Patrick Mahomes is basically inviting him to move out the pocket and just do what he wants. And when they've got receivers in the game that knows when he breaks out the pocket, they know where to go. There's such good chemistry of all of them, including DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, Travis Kelce. They're all so good when Mahomes has his scramble drills that they all break to that side of the field, or Tyreek Hill breaks the other side of the field and Patrick Mahomes finds him anyway. But yeah, he did look like he was having more fun on Sunday. Yeah. And it reminded me a bit of the Denver Broncos game in his rookie year.
Yeah.
You know, when he just kind of like, he wasn't under like tons of pressure like the Broncos sent that night, but he was just escaping the pocket loads and just rolling out right, rolling out left, and just finding guys open across the middle, throwing across his body. He looked like he was having a whale of a time.
Yeah.
And when I said earlier that he appears that he's got his mojo back, that's the type of thing I'm talking about. Like, he made so many plays that if you just had like a blank quarterback that you couldn't see anything, you couldn't see badges, you couldn't see numbers or anything, literally just like a silhouette of a quarterback, and you had to like say, right, who's making that throw? They were all Patrick Mahomes type plays, all of them, from the shovel to rolling out across the body, they were all Patrick Mahomes. Well, like if you saw a quarterback just standing tall in the pocket and checking down to a running back 5 yards downfield, you know that's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Exactly. Yeah. Tom Brady. But,
I can't believe that worked. We didn't even rehearse that either.
Now we know what's going to be the cart bit for Twitter later. there you go, Steve. Made your job easy today. but yeah, it just looked like Patrick Mahomes is back to his best as playing like his brand of football. And it was just a joy to watch.
Vintage Mahomes.
Yes. Yes.
In his, fifth season? Vintage Mahomes.
If he was in whiskey, you wouldn't even open him yet.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. All right, then. I think we'll take a break and have a whiskey break, actually, mate. When we come back, we'll be discussing the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings, and we'll be looking ahead with our preview of Week 7 against the Titans.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, Brad and Tom. We're going to look at the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings, which Tom has kindly done for us again this week. And who have we got at the top this week? Arizona Cardinals, Tom.
Yeah, well, rightly so. The last remaining undefeated.
Yeah.
Us remaining undefeated, and they look really good. Like, to go to Cleveland on the road with all the stuff that's happening in Arizona in terms of injuries and COVID and all that, like to win so convincingly, yeah, thoroughly deserved. Like, I think you'll be hard pressed to find anyone that doesn't believe that Arizona are the best team in the NFL right now.
It's a tough top five, that.
Like, especially when you've got teams like Baltimore who aren't in the top five. You've got Lamar Jackson, who's playing out of this world good at the moment. He's like ridiculously good at his job at the moment. And they can't break the top five. It's because the talent at the top of the league is so good. We mentioned it last week. This is a really top heavy league now. There are so many bad teams in the NFL, but you've got like 8 to 9 teams who are just like legit contenders. And like, I have no doubt that they're all going to move around. I don't expect that Dallas to stay in the top five all year. I don't expect Green Bay to stay out of the top five all year. They're just going to keep interchanging. And then when it gets to business time in the playoffs, we could be on for like one of the greatest playoffs of all time.
Mm, for sure. Just looking at this, the Chiefs move up from 10th to 9th, which is good. We definitely want to be trending in that direction.
Small wins, as everyone, as Tesco say, every little helps. That's all we need. So come on, we're the climb to the top starts now. The ascendancy starts now. So that, don't worry, the Chiefs will be back at number one eventually. But yeah, you know, sure, you've got to start somewhere.
We're right behind the Chargers, which let's talk about that briefly, because that Chargers game,
In general, it was a really good week for the Chiefs. Like, the Bills lost. Obviously, there had to be a winner out of Chargers and Ravens. And for our sakes right now, the AFC West is probably more important than the number one seed. We need to get the AFC West back in tow first. So, yeah, the Ravens beating the Chargers was more important for us. The Broncos lost, which is good. You know, like, it was a good week overall for the Chiefs. They made some headway in a lot of ways this weekend.
Yeah, and the Raiders playing the Broncos. The Broncos clearly not up to the task this week.
Not up to the task the last 3 weeks, mate. Like they've been bad. They had their cupcake schedule to begin with, and they beat the bad teams that were put in front of them. Since some semi-competent teams have been put in front of the Broncos, they've just been bad. Normally, like when it gets to Chiefs Broncos games, I know we've got a little while to wait until the Chiefs actually face the Broncos, but you normally get a bit nervous about that because you think they'll be able to hold their own. But right now, this version of the Broncos would get absolutely annihilated by this version of the Chiefs.
And rock bottom this week is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think this is kind of harsh. Like, I suppose we've been Arizona's the last remaining undefeated at number one. We should probably put the last remaining winless team at the bottom. But I feel like the Lions have been scrappy for a few weeks now. Like, they've been unlucky with some of their losses, like to the Vikings and the Ravens, most notably. For me, you've got teams there that are playing much, much, much worse football, like the New York Giants. They're playing terribly. New York Jets, I saw that in person last week. They're really bad. The Dolphins are bad. The Texans are bad. I don't expect the Lions to stay at the bottom. I think they're a better team than their record shows. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are off the bottom after finally getting a win. And what a game that was, by the way, in London. Like, in London, we've had a lot of bad games. And unfortunately, I didn't get to go to this one. But this weekend, the Jags-Dolphins game was just like was an instant classic for the NFL UK fans.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was really, I mean, right down to the last kick. It was great game to watch. And the crowd really got involved. I mean, I don't know if anybody's seen the footage of the last, you know, the final kick that went through. The fans were jumping around like crazy, weren't they? It was like England scored.
And it couldn't have been more different to what I saw the week before. The week before, the atmosphere was terrible. But I watched this game on Sunday on TV and the atmosphere looked great. I was kind of annoyed at myself for choosing the Falcons-Jets in the end.
Well, I did say that that would be the better game, mate, but you didn't listen to me, did you? No, you wouldn't listen to me.
Right, Captain Hindsight.
All right, then, should we look ahead to the Week 7 against the Titans? The Chiefs will be heading to Tennessee to take on the 4-2 Titans in Week 7. And Tom and I are honoured again each week to be the first podcast on Arrowhead Pride Network to preview this matchup first. Chiefs versus Titans. Now this has almost become a bit of more of a rivalry kind of matchup now, isn't it? Over recent years, especially after the AFC Championship game that the Chiefs managed to, you know, suffocate King Henry in that matchup. And I think the Titans have been looking for revenge ever since.
Yeah, for sure. This is the first time we've played them since. If I'm not wrong, I don't think we played them.
I think it is. I think you might be right there. So, yeah.
I wonder if they've been stewing on that because, like, the Titans are fairly similar to the Chiefs. So they've kept a lot of pieces in house, so they've tried to run it back with a lot of the same players. So literally maybe they will back, be a little bit like up for this game more than normal because they will want to get revenge. But the Titans are playing semi-good football right now. Like, even in the power rankings, they're moving up. And I don't have a lot of nice things to say about AFC South teams in general because I think the division is just awful. But right now, the Titans have come in off their biggest win in the last 2 years, like to beat Buffalo like that. And the way they did to go head-to-head with Buffalo and go point-to-point and end up beating them on a defensive stop. Like, no one expects defensive stops from the Tennessee Titans to beat them the way they did. Like, fair play, that was no easy feat. Like, I went to bed last night fully expecting to wake up to news that the Buffalo Bills had absolutely battered them.
Yeah. But
it didn't happen. So, yeah, the Titans are hot right now.
Really are. But it seems to be the rushing game that seems to be their key thing. And it's the kryptonite of the Chiefs defense at the moment, isn't it? This rushing.
Have they got a decent running back? Who's that?
What's he called? Anyway, we'll skip to him later. I'll find him in the roster sheet or something.
Do they?
No. I mean, their best rushing guy is Henry. He's called.
Oh, okay, Henry Derrick.
That's the one. check this stat out, right? Considering it's only like what, week 7.
Yeah.
162 carries, 783 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Jesus. How many carries?
162.
In 6 games.
So, if that's not an indicator to Spags that they're going to be running the ball.
sorry to talk about Spags. 162 carries in 6 games. How does Derrick Henry get out of bed in the morning? Does he have a crane over his bed that picks him up and brings him downstairs?
He must ache every morning.
Oh, my God. Like, I struggle getting up out of bed anyway, and I don't do much athletic at all. But... like 162 carries. And how many yards?
783. And it's only week seven. He's done that in what? Did he play one of the games?
I think he did. But like people say that running backs don't matter and like Derrick Henry doesn't matter. Like the EPA nerds like love to say that Derrick Henry doesn't matter. Like I just don't get how you can come to that conclusion. Like I don't care what EPA says. Derrick Henry 100% matters. Imagine if you put Derrick Henry on this Chiefs team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? It'd be a phenomenal team for sure. I mean, I know there's obviously fans out there that like, obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams, what we've got there. But to have somebody like Derrick Henry, some real kind of phenomenal player like that would be immense for this Chiefs team.
Yeah. Would you take Derrick Henry? So let's reverse back to 2020 draft. And the Chiefs were on the clock again, 32nd, and Derrick Henry was there, and you knew what kind of production Derrick Henry was capable of. Would you take him with that pick?
I think you have to.
Do you think Chiefs Twitter, because obviously the fashionable thing right now on Chiefs Twitter is to talk about that draft pick and Clyde Edwards-Helaire not mattering and blah, blah, how they waste that draft pick. Do you reckon the overrided opinion of Chiefs Twitter would be to take Derrick Henry and put him on their Chiefs team with that pick, with a first-round pick?
Looking at those stats, yes.
Yeah. 100%.
Because he's phenomenal.
It would be devastating if the Chiefs had a running back like Derrick Henry.
Oh, mate. I mean, it's not just a powerhouse. He's fast.
Yeah.
He's really fast. I mean, that play where he ran for 76 yards or whatever it was in the last game.
Yeah.
He hit a top speed of like 21 miles an hour or something. Yeah. That's like nearly Tyreek kind of speed. It's like Tyreek's like 22.6 or something, his fastest.
Yeah, and Tyreek probably weighs half of what Derrick Henry does. And the thing with Derrick Henry, he always seems like he looks a bit like Jamal Charles when he runs because he looks like he's always getting quicker. Yeah. Like he starts off kind of slow, but then once he gets going, he's just a train. He's a freight train. You cannot stop that man.
No.
And like I wouldn't want to be any defensive back. Like I could not imagine tackling Derrick Henry to be very fun.
I mean, put it into a comparison here. I mean, I know Edwards-Helaire has obviously been injured, last couple of weeks. But, our best rushing at the moment from Edwards-Helaire was 65 carries, 304 yards.
Mm. So he 100 more carries than Edwards-Helaire.
Way more, yeah. Way more, mate. But, I mean, obviously, we know that's their main threat.
Yeah, for
sure. And when you look at their passing threat, with the likes of with Tannehill and obviously the weapons that he's got on shore there at the Titans, he's not utilizing them enough. He's not utilizing them half as much at the minute because apparently he's got 128. Well, yeah, he's had 128 completions out of 202 attempts, 1,467 yards, 6 TDs, and 4 ints.
It's pretty average, isn't it? Like
it's very average.
I'm looking at their offensive output. Like they've scored over 30 points 3 times already this season. And we've said before that if the Chiefs can keep opponents to less than 30 points, then they should be okay. They've done such a good job in the AFC Championship game on Derrick Henry, though. Because after that Week 11 game back in 2019 and Derrick Henry ran for, 258 yards and the Titans stole a game at the end thanks to some really dodgy special teams plays and the Chiefs in Nashville. All the talk coming into the AFC Championship game, which shouldn't hold much bearing now, but it kind of does because we're talking about the same player. When all the talk going into that was Derrick Henry's going to run all over the Chiefs. He's going to run. The Chiefs aren't going to be able to stop the Tennessee Titans, and the Tennessee Titans are going to go into the Super Bowl and beat whoever they were going to play in that particularly. But that's not what happened. The Chiefs managed to put a lid on Derrick Henry, 69 yards? And they made Ryan Tannehill beat the Chiefs. And I feel like that's exactly what the Chiefs are going to try and do again this week. They're going to try and load that box because you have to. Because if Derrick Henry's happy to run 30, 40 times a game, then he will run 30, 40 times a game. And if you cannot stop him over 4 downs, you do not stand a chance to stop this Tennessee Titans offense. So they have to first and foremost concentrate on stopping Derrick Henry. Then after that, say, right, Snead versus AJ Brown, Rashad Fenton versus Julio Jones, if he plays. Let's see what these guys can do. Because remember, in the offensive line, the Tennessee Titans are going to be without Taylor Lewan this year, their star right tackle. He's going to be in a concussion protocol, so chances are he's not going to be playing this Sunday either. So the pass rush might actually get to Ryan Tannehill for a change. But first and foremost, you just have to stop Derrick Henry.
It's going back to what you were saying in the first half of the show, I suppose, isn't it? That you had Thornhill and Matthew really kind of plugging the gaps, weren't you? Mm-hmm. that's what they're going to have to do in this game. They really have to do that. And like you said, make sure that Tannehill Hill is throwing the ball and trust the corners. Yeah. Trust the Chiefs corners that they're going to make a play on this. Because, I mean, AJ Brown hasn't been great this year. His production hasn't been mind-blowingly good. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah, he is still a threat. But I seriously think that, you know, if you shut down Henry, that's their main talisman out of the way.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, you're forcing Tannehill to really kind of, you know, attack Chiefs as best as he can. But yeah, I'm with you on that, man. I think Spags will have this dialed up perfectly.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a good opponent for the Chiefs because they know where to attack. Like the Buffalo Bills is like a really hard team to game plan for because there is so many weapons and you've got the added threat of Josh Allen running, where the Titans really aren't, like, they are very bread and butter, aren't they? It's Derrick Henry first, play action, AJ Brown, Julio Jones. Okay, it's really hard to stop play action and the running back at the same time. It's hard. But based on the way the Chiefs corners have been playing of lately, more so on Sunday, then they do stand a chance. I saw a PFF stat going around this week that I think, what, four of the top five Chiefs grades from last Sunday were all defensive backs, Fenton, yeah. Sneed, Thornhill, Matthew. So these guys are playing well. Like, Rashard Fenton looks like a guy that's not going to be giving up his starting role anytime soon. Like, Treverius Ward's going to have a job to get back in. He might come in the nickel packages when Sneed drops inside, and you might see the nickel package being Ward, Sneed, and Fenton, as opposed to Ward, Sneed, and Mike Hughes. That might be the way that he goes going forward. But right now, I trust the Jerry Sneed. I trust Rashard Fenton. They are both playing really good football. And if we have to let them go on an island against the likes of AJ Brown and Julio Jones, so be it. As long as the rest of the defense key in on Derrick Henry, then the Chiefs do stand a chance at stopping this offense.
All right, then let's look at the previous opponents that the Titans have been playing against. Obviously, they lost against the Cardinals. Everybody seems to be losing against them at the moment. Then there was the Seahawks, where they won in overtime against them, which, I mean, obviously they still had Russell Wilson in that game, but the Seahawks haven't been great this year, have they? Mm-hmm. They won against the Indianapolis Colts, and, oh, did they lose against the Jets?
They did. They lost to the Jets.
They lost against the Jets? Oh, mate, we're in for another dub here, mate. After seeing that.
Your prediction's just changed in a heartbeat, hasn't it?
Completely. They lost to the Jets in overtime.
That was Zach Wilson's first win.
They could beat the Jacksonville Jaguars as well.
Yeah.
And they just obviously beat the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Like, it'd been interesting to see if they'd lost last night, how, like, opinion might have changed on this. I think, like, I feel like we're overall probably giving Tennessee a little bit too much credit because they beat the Bills last night. But we probably kind of need to probably remember that if Josh Allen doesn't fall flat on his face, then the Bills probably win that game. So, like, you look at the Titans wins, the Jags, the Colts, the Seahawks, like, they've all got losing records. And so they have only played like two decent teams this year in the Bills and the Cardinals. And yes, they got away with one win in one of them. But yeah, maybe they aren't that good. Maybe it's just the Derrick Henry factor. Maybe we're just scared of Derrick Henry like other teams are scared of Patrick Mahomes. But overall, like, talent-wise, Chiefs versus the Titans on both sides of the ball, I massively favour the Chiefs over the Titans. And I favour them in coaching especially because Mike Vrabel is just not a coach that I can get behind.
Yeah, well, after seeing him obviously losing against the Jets, my God.
That's all you get. That is all. That's the B-O and endo of your analysis now, isn't it?
It is now, yeah. That's it. The loss against the Jets. Tough. There you go. That's it. Chiefs are winning. All right, let's look at the ones to watch, shall we? Are we both going to go Derrick Henry for the Titans?
I think we'd be mad not to. Like, defensively, the Titans just haven't got a lot to write home about. They've got no corners. They're all injured or out for the season. Fulton's gone down. Caleb Farley's gone down for the year with a torn ACL. They just don't have much there. Like, I can't see the Titans stopping this Chiefs offense. Like, if they conceded 31 points to the Bills offense, they're going to concede more than that to the Chiefs. The Bills know they're in a shootout. They know they need to try and keep with the Chiefs. So you can only say one of two players. The most important players for this the Titans on this Sunday are Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill. So they have to be the ones to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I've gone for the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill. I think against, like you were saying there, against their corners, I think Tyreek Hill will have a field day, unless they start trying to double up on him, like most teams try and do. But again, you know, Tyreek Hill, even doubled up, is obviously a big threat, obviously, for this team. Have you gone for anybody with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm up for a heavy dose of Derek Nardi on Sunday.
Like
he's had a bad season. He's not playing his greatest football, but he is very, very good against the run. And this is who we need to perform on Sunday. Like Jaron Reed's done nothing so far this season. Turk Wharton had his splash play on Sunday, but in general hasn't been that great. The middle of the defensive line in general hasn't been that great this year. But with Chris Jones potentially coming back, maybe hopefully back from his wrist injury, you can have Chris Jones and Derek Nardi on some early downs, potentially maybe they'd stick Jaron Reed and have a five-man front to begin with. I reckon Derek Nardi, if he can occupy a guard and a centre, allow the other guys to go hunt for Derek Henry, then I think he could have a pivotal role in this week's game.
Predictions?
They lost to the Jets.
Stole my thunder.
I can't sit here and say the Chiefs have found their mojo again. And right for Arrowhead Pride, the Chiefs have found their mojo. I'm going to say it that Mahomes is back, and sit here and talk about Mahomes being the greatest human on earth again, and this savior of the human race and all this, and then predict a tight game. I just can't do it. I can't. I've been right this year about the Chiefs a lot when it comes to predictions, and I'm hoping I'm right again. I think the Chiefs are going to batter them. I do.
I do now.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 38-20. To the Chiefs.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can see that. I mean,
They're not going to kick field goals. Mike Vrabel's not that kind of coach. They're not going to kick field goals. Can I revise that?
Go on then, revise it. Well, go on.
38-21.
Right. So he's not even going for 2-point conversions then either, is he? Oh, well. Well, do you know what? Before we did this show, and I put it on the show notes, I actually thought that the Chiefs game would be 38-36. I thought it'd be that close. Until I saw that they lost against the Jets. And I'm thinking, do you know what? If the Chiefs just cut out the damn turnovers.
Yeah.
And stop gifting teams the points like they have been. I mean, it's hugely significant that these turnovers are really gifting these teams. You know, I mean, even with the Chargers, we gifted them that game. Mm-hmm. I actually think the Chiefs are going to go 38-17.
Nice. That's quite close to the AFC Championship score, wasn't it? It's quite close. I think we both are very close to the AFC Championship score. Maybe it might make a bit of a difference to the fact that this game's been played in Nashville. But if I remember rightly, when the Chiefs last played in Nashville, there were so many Chiefs fans there. It was so red. It was similar to, like, do you remember when the Vikings played the Chiefs in Arrowhead a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah,
it was just purple everywhere. I'm pretty sure the Chiefs done the same in Nashville just a few weeks earlier than that, or a few weeks after that. So maybe then there would be plenty of Chiefs fans and it'd feel like a home game anyway for the Chiefs.
I hope so. The kingdom travels well, doesn't it? Yeah. For sure. Right, that's all we've got time for this week, sadly. But please feel free to leave us a rating and review. Tom and I are here every Wednesday during the 2021 season. And remember, you can also listen to more Chiefs-related content here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.